Today we hear the story of the three kings, the three wise men, or often called the Magi. Now, one of my favorite Christmas stories that I read as a child was a book called The Gift of the Magi, taken from a short story written by O. Henry. In this story, there is a young couple named Della and Jim. They have very little money, and the story opens with Della crying because she cannot think of what to buy her husband for Christmas with only a few dollars to spend. Now, this humble couple with very little money had two things that they took great pride in. One was Della's long flowing hair almost to her knees, and the other was Jim's gold watch, which was a family heirloom passed down over generations. As we enter the story, Della was wondering anxiously about how to get this perfect gift for Christmas for her husband. What gift could she possibly give with so little money? But then she had what we call an epiphany. A great idea occurred to her. She ran to a nearby wig shop and she asked if they would buy her long hair, all that hair that had taken her years to grow. Her pride and joy was chopped off, but she ended up getting enough money to buy a beautiful gold watch chain to hold Jim's treasured gold watch. It was the perfect gift, and Della was a little worried. She thought, maybe my husband won't think I'm as beautiful without my long flowing hair. But she was excited about this gift. And later that day when Jim came home, he saw her short hair and he had a peculiar expression. It wasn't anger or betrayal or even shock. But Della panicked. She begged him not to be angry. She said, I did this to get this perfect gift for you. That he was more important to her than her long hair. And Jim hugged her. He told her, you could never be any less beautiful to me. But he said to her, you should really open my present to you. You see, Jim, just like Della, had searched high and low, same as her, to find the perfect gift. She took the box in her hands and she unwrapped it with excitement, and her gift, she found, were two tortoiseshell combs for her hair that she had been admiring for years. The kinds of combs that only rich society women could wear, that she only ever dreamed of wearing. And she was so thrilled, she said, Jim, don't worry, this is wonderful. My hair will grow back and I can wear these. Just wait until you see what I got you. And when he opened up her gift with the gold watch chain, his face fell. And he said, well, I got you these combs by selling my watch. So neither gift had any use to this couple. These gifts of so much love and so much value, they ended up not being of any use to each other. So it seems like this awful irony. But then this story is read at Christmas time, I think, because it is the gift of something that seems ridiculous and extravagant, something that can never be matched or repaid. I never thought about why this simple story of this couple was called The Gift of the Magi until I was thinking about this sermon on Epiphany. Because like this foolish young couple, the wise men, the Magi, brought these extravagant, rich gifts to worship a newborn baby. They brought great riches to a poor baby in a stable. Now, what use could this family have possibly had for these rich gifts? Was it really worth it? Our gospel story is one that you've probably heard many, many times. But the story of the Magi, the three wise men, is not just a sweet tale that we see as part of the Christmas pageant. One writer describes what you just heard in Matthew as the entire gospel crammed into a few paragraphs. Unlike Luke, Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus actually talks very little about the birth. And instead, Matthew focuses on all the people around Jesus at the birth, all the people who were affected by this birth, some of the main characters of which are these wise men. So they have been led by a star, and they are headed to Bethlehem, a very rural place, dusty and dirty and unpretentious. they headed to the place where this young couple was taking care of their new baby, a couple that was much like Della and Jim from our earlier story, just your typical humble couple with barely two coins to rub together. And the wise men of this story embarked on a long journey toward a baby with no credentials, no social standing, and they offered him these strange gifts. Gold was a valuable, almost regal status symbol at that time. Frankincense was a perfume that was often used in rituals by priests. And then myrrh was a common embalming fluid, so it was something you used before death. So it seems like maybe these gifts show that the wise men knew something about Jesus, about who Jesus was going to be. Where any of us, a common passerby, might just see another poor baby being born, they saw a king, a priest, and someone who was going to die to fulfill the prophecies about the Messiah. These gifts show that maybe they had an inkling about these things, that God was leading them to see who this baby would really be. And according to most forms of Christianity, these magi, they were the first to really worship the baby Jesus, to realize who he really was. But they were foreigners. They were from far away. And the message of this story can hardly be missed when you look at that, that the world, the nations, people different from us, will be drawn to Christ. That's where it connects to that Isaiah reading about the light coming into our world. It was a dark time for God's people when Isaiah was giving his prophecies. All that they went through, the exile and war and poverty, they were hearing Isaiah saying, "Arise, your light has come." Isaiah said God would come to them, God would be present with them, God would act for them. Many nations would come and pay homage to God as a result of Israel's witness, that people would be drawn to the light of God's love because of who they were as a people. That was Isaiah's message. So in the middle of their devastating mess, Isaiah was inviting his discouraged and depressed leaders of the nation to hope, to expect that everything was going to change. The wise men came all the way to meet Jesus, similarly, because they expected something different, something wonderful, something miraculous even, and mysterious. And it is that mystery, that wonder, that capacity to dream and follow after something that maybe the world doesn't fully understand. That's what we celebrate when we remember the wise men today, when we remember the Epiphany. This story is so exciting because God finds ways of reaching out to literally everyone from all over, even those characters who we would not expect, even people who we would least expect to get the message. God finds a way to reach them, and maybe it's through us. So even when we feel lost, when we don't know anymore why we're on our paths, why we're following God, where God is taking us with our own stars, when we feel that way, we can look at this story and know that God has a plan for everyone. God is taking us all somewhere on a journey with these scared and flustered wise men. The season of Epiphany is called by that name because although God has become a part of our world, we are still learning to see God as a part of it. Because, you know, when we have an epiphany, we realize the truth of a situation. It's that aha moment. Della had it in the story. An epiphany is that aha moment, realizing that there is a truth that has been there all along, and we just couldn't see it. When God opens our eyes to see it, to see the Messiah, we can do none other than go home another way, taking it step by step, even if it feels risky, because home will never be the same for any of us when we really encounter this baby, this Savior, Jesus Christ. When we encounter that Christ, we are driven by the love and light of God to give of our own gifts, to others, to the world, to draw people to him. We are changed from faraway wanderers into friends of God. Amen.